Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you what's doing in Western Michigan. Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news from the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan, as reported in the daily and weekly newspapers received during the week in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. A happy new year to the editors of the 20-odd newspapers which come into our newsroom every week, and to their readers. I have immensely enjoyed reading these newspapers every Friday evening for the past year. The big city newspapers that tell mainly of war and politics and crime often fail, I think, to reflect what life is like in these United States. In the smaller papers, there are reports of crime and accident and disaster, but there is also much else. There are items which tell of a family gathering for Sunday dinner, of men and women working together to build an athletic field for the local youth, of new uniforms for the high school band, of a meeting of the local Grange, of the death of some citizen who has lived quietly in a community for many years doing much good, of church socials, of projects by the local Lions, Optimists, Rotarians, Kiwanians, or Exchangeites, of the bounty of neighbors when someone has had a streak of bad luck. That's life in America, not the news about big-time politics, or shenanigans in Lansing, or gang murders, or war. 50 or 60 years ago, when towns and cities were more isolated from the outside world than they are today, newspapers might have reflected a certain provincialism. But that's not true now. For example, here on the front page of one of the issues of the Sturgis Journal this week is a letter from a 15-year-old German girl named Edith to a 15-year-old Sturgis girl named Nancy. There are dozens of such letters that are published in the various newspapers from week to week. In the daily papers and even in the weeklies, one finds pictures and news items in great number and variety about happenings in Europe or Asia. Farmers in every county in Western Michigan during the past week have been collecting food for hungry Europeans as part of the Christian Rural Overseas programs. The newspapers have been full of stories about this commendable effort. It's too early as yet to estimate the amount of collections, but our farm editor, Carl Collin, will be with us on this program next Sunday to give us a comprehensive review of the results. My hunch is that donations will be liberal. We Americans are a very generous folk, and when we know that what we give is certainly to reach directly the people in Europe who don't have enough to eat, we're pretty apt to outdo ourselves. My impression from reading these newspapers is that most publishers do an honest and conscientious job in reporting what happens fairly. Editorially, the newspapers are certainly milder than they were 50 or 60 years ago. Then a great many cities and even small towns had two newspapers, each reflecting a definite political point of view. And the editorials were read hot with fervor, whether on a political subject or some other matter. Some of the newspapers today have syndicated editorials or publish no editorials at all. But in other newspapers, the editor speaks his mind pungently enough about local, state, national, and world topics. I have particularly enjoyed the editorial writing of Earl Davidson in the Coldwater Daily Reporter, of William Butler in the Holland Evening Sentinel, of Paul Mixter in the South Haven Daily Tribune, and of Leo Hoffman in the Allegan Gazette. Although I don't always agree with what these editors have to say, I admire them for saying it, and saying it persuasively. For keen and penetrating analysis of matters political, especially Michigan politics, a salute to Merle H. Defoe of the Charlotte Republican Tribune. I have missed the ripe political wisdom of William Berkey in the Cassopolis Vigilant, since Mr. Berkey has been ill and unable to write. Many of the editors, instead of undertaking full-fledged editorials, write a column of newsy comment on community happenings and problems. Meredith Clark's column called On the Corner in the Vicksburg Commercial, and R.G. Jeffries' columns called Along Main Street and Ledger Entries in the Lowell Ledger are first rate along this line. Clark, by the way, owns also the Tecumseh Patriot and does a similar column in that newspaper. In the Marshall Evening Chronicle, Clyde Weatherwax writes a daily column which is full of human interest, good humor, and reminiscence. I like that column a lot. I have enjoyed browsing through the columns of local items and rural correspondents, even though to the outsider they get rather dull and monotonous. There are means of getting people's names in the paper, which, of course, everyone likes. There's one correspondent, however, who manages to make the happenings in her community come to life. She has a gay spirit, a sharp wit, and abundant good humor. She tells of the simple homey events of life on a farm, of neighborhood get-togethers, of services in the rural church, and lots about children, her own and others. She is the correspondent from Newton's Woods, who writes in the Cassopolis Vigilant. I don't know the lady's name, but I want to pay her tribute today, as by all odds, the best rural correspondent in any of these papers. I have missed her column the last month or so, but it was back in this week's issue of the Vigilant, and the reason for her absence was explained. She had been having a baby. I don't know either the name of the lady who writes the Society News for the Three Rivers Commercial, but I'd like to award her first prize in my book for coverage and reporting of women's affairs and social doings in her city. A special word of commendation also to the sports staff of the Hastings Banner, who do a corking job reporting sports in Berry County. And speaking of the Hastings Banner, I mustn't overlook one Jane Cameron, who writes a spicy column in that newspaper called Berry Bypass, which I always enjoy. Most disappointing character of the year, our old friend Uncle Enos Gay, whose sayings, wise and droll, we used to so much admire in the Allegan Gazette. But Uncle Enos has gone highbrow now that he has a column of his own. His stuff reads like the Country Life editor of the New York Times. I'll be back in just 60 seconds, following a summary of late state news from the Associated Press. This is WKZO Week in Kalamazoo, in which we celebrate the occasion of our moving into new quarters. It's a good time to take stock, especially since this is the first of the year. I want to talk with you this afternoon, our Western Michigan listeners, about the job we try to do to provide radio service to the 12 or 15 counties served by WKZO. First, may I say that we are not competing with your hometown newspaper for advertising business. Naturally, if some citizen from one of the towns or cities in Western Michigan thinks that he needs to use radio for his advertising, the WKZO sales staff seeks to fulfill his needs. But WKZO is chiefly interested in just one thing in the larger Western Michigan area, listeners. A radio station profits from having a large audience, just the same as a newspaper profits from having a large circulation. And there are agencies which measure radio audiences through mail or telephone surveys and measure them rather accurately. Hence, this broadcasting station has tried during the past year to get more listeners throughout the Western Michigan area, and may I add, with rather gratifying results. WKZO used newspaper advertising in your hometown newspaper, just as any other business should. A series of honor days was completed. On these days, special broadcasts were picked up in a certain city, and many local citizens appeared on the programs. Local musical organizations were heard, and many young people participated. The history of your community was related, and the story of your industries and civic institutions. In the planning stage is another series of pickups from the cities and towns of Western Michigan, and we'll be telling you about it soon. Through the Associated Press, through special correspondents, and through the cooperation of local newspapers, we report the big news from your community, major disasters, the results of important elections, significant civic improvements and achievements. And each week at this time, we devote this quarter-hour program to reporting the news as told by the newspapers of the area. Our sports department is keenly interested in how your local high school athletic teams are doing, and you'll often hear our sports editor, Tom Carson, mention them on his March of Sports each weekday evening at 6, as well as on the Scores program, which is heard Friday night at 11:30. And then there's farm development, covered by our farm editor, Carl Collins. Whenever there's a big farm meeting, a county fair, or some other sort of a gathering or event of importance to farmers, you're pretty apt to find Carl Collin there with his tape recorders. And on his regular farm programs at 6:30 in the morning and at 12:15 and 12:45 each day, he brings the rural audience vital reports on weather conditions and markets. Each Tuesday evening at 6:30, we report on one of the industries of Western Michigan in the program, Western Michigan at Work. There is hardly a town or city in the area that has not been represented once or twice on these broadcasts. And finally, there's the WKZO Special Events Department. When your community has a tulip festival, a fisherman's frolic, a celery festival, a grape festival, a big celebration, or a county fair, you'll almost always see our WKZO microphone around. Through the medium of radio, all Western Michigan hears about what goes on in your town. In all these efforts to serve the people of Western Michigan, WKZO in no wise competes with your weekly or daily newspaper. Radio cannot bring you pictures as your newspaper can, nor can radio bring you full and complete details on a major happening in your community. It cannot report the thousands of personal events of importance. Radio supplements your newspaper. It never has and never will replace it. You know, there used to be a fierce competition between radio and the newspapers. In some quarters, remnants of that rivalry are still alive. But in most places, it's dead as a dodo. Radio has not hurt newspaper circulation. It has stimulated it. And it's not hurt newspaper advertising revenues. Most editors recognize that fact. Some of WKZO's staunchest friends and supporters in Western Michigan are newspaper editors. Whenever we've gone into your community, we have received, almost without exception, the finest and friendliest cooperation from your editors. Why, up at Greenville last summer, we broadcast two features of the centennial celebration right from the office of the Greenville Daily News. And a picture of this reporter broadcasting in the midst of a bunch of bearded men, which was reprinted all over the country, was taken on the steps of the Marshall Evening Chronicle. Well, that's typical. And by the way, that beard derby we sponsored last summer among the bewhiskered gentlemen of Vicksburg, Greenville, and Marshall was more fun than a box of monkeys. It came to a climax at the Ionia Free Fair, where we had three politicians lined up to judge the contest between winners from the three cities. When it came time to go on the air, the rain was coming down in sheets, but on the air we went, right out in front of the grandstand on a platform completely uncovered. One very important politician we had scheduled to judge beards backed out. Well, he got licked in the November elections. The other two chaps won. I don't know whether that was a coincidence or not. Before closing, I want to mention an informative and entertaining series of programs called Adventures in Western Michigan, which we broadcast Saturday afternoons at 3 o'clock. Each Saturday, we invite to our new studios a group of 20 or 25 high school youngsters from one of the cities or towns of Western Michigan. Next Saturday's group comes from Dowagiac, by the way. The youngsters tell about their hometown, its civic virtues, its industries, and about their school and its activities, also about themselves. Talented musicians have a chance to do their stuff, and there are many entertaining features on the program. Better listen next Saturday. That's at 3 o'clock. Well, there are some of the ways in which WKZO seeks to serve the people of Western Michigan, along with their local newspapers. I am looking forward, with a great deal of pleasure, again this year, to reading what goes on in Western Michigan in the hometown newspapers and reporting what I find each Sunday afternoon at 12:15. So, let's make a date for right after church each Sunday, shall we? Now, this is Willis Dunbar reporting on what's doing in Western Michigan. This has been another program presented in the public interest by station WKZO. Broadcast today for the first time from its new block-long Radio City in Kalamazoo.